sometime. It was a strange man dressed in strange clothes who ate strange things, and yet a crowd had gathered to hear what he had to say. The crowd gathered around this place, the Jordan River, perhaps not in this exact spot, but people came from all over the countryside to hear what John the Baptist had to say. He would preach to them about the love of God and forgiveness of sins, and they would repent, turning from their sin, and come to the water to be baptized. And as we heard the description of John, he was a kind of an odd-looking guy. He wore camel's hair clothing, a leather belt. He ate locust and wild honey. Not sure that's in our favorite menu. Not even appetizing for some. But yet his message was what drew them there. Not his features, not his look, not what anything about him, but it was his message about God who wanted to make a difference in his life, in the lives of those around him. He was preaching repentance and offering baptism to everyone who would come. And here comes another person, a relative of John, somebody that had by prophecy to come to this place at this time. And yet it was very unusual, very unique, because here comes Jesus, the Son of God, to John to be baptized. John said, I don't want to do this. You should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, no, this is the way it has to happen. Because the prophecies have foretold that the Son of God, the Messiah, would come, and he would be baptized so that he would be signifying the beginning of his earthly ministry. So Jesus comes to be baptized. We have something that looks like a dove come and rest upon him. We have a voice from heaven. And then he's sent off into the desert to be tempted by Satan. Not quite what we would expect out of this story, out of this beautiful setting here. But yet it was so significant in our lives. Some of the significance of that day was that John, as I already said, was fulfilling prophecy. That this had prepared, he had prepared the way for Jesus' ministry. He was not the most important message of the day, Jesus was going to be. But he was preparing the people to hear. He was talking about the things of God, preparing them for the coming of the Messiah. This was the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, his baptism at around age 30. And that was the beginning, signifying that this is something about to happen, that there's something important happening, a transition happening in the life of Jesus, the Son of God. His public ministry is about to begin. The Trinity was present. We think about the Trinity, the God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have the Trinity present in this setting. We have the God, the Father, speaking from heaven. We have Jesus, the Son, there being baptized, and we have the Holy Spirit coming like a dove and settling on Christ, signifying that he is the chosen one, the Messiah. And it was also significant that the dove settling on Christ that day was a symbol of Jesus' anointing for ministry. It was God's blessing upon his life and saying, this is my son who is about to teach you some amazing things. And out of this setting, we have a lot of things that have happened. The sacrament of baptism has come, the sacrament being that ritual of our faith, that the two sacraments in the Church of the Nazarene that we take a part of and have made part of our observance of our Christian faith is the table that we're going to share later in communion. And then also this idea of baptism, symbolizing the repentance and forgiveness of sins. We have even had, I would joke around with a friend of mine, he was a Baptist pastor, one of the churches I pastored, they rented the facility from us, and they were a new church starting out, and we would be having our worship service, we'd have Sunday school and then our worship service, and they'd be downstairs having worship, Sunday school, and then they'd come up and worship after we did, and his name was Guy, he was Pastor Guy, we just called him the Pastor Guy for short, it was just kind of a fun thing, we had a great relationship, and he would always brag about, hey, I'm a Baptist, I'm named after John the Baptist, and I would say, that's fine, thank you for getting things started, we're here to finish up now because we're Nazarenes because Jesus was a Nazarene. And we would have this great relationship joking around about it, but traditions, denominations have been formed based upon representatives out of this setting. And not that one denomination is greater than another, but we're all working toward the same goal of leading people to faith in Christ. So we talk about this idea of baptism in our church, and I wanted to share with you today a secular definition of baptism. It's a Christian sacrament marked by ritual use of water and admitting the recipient to the Christian community. It's the secular way of viewing this is it's a ritual that we go through that signifies the person becomes a part of the Christian community. But I want to suggest to you that it's even deeper than that because in addition to the secular definition of baptism, I want to share with you a spiritual definition of baptism. It's an outward sign or symbol of what God has already done in your heart. It's proclaiming to the world, it's a testimony, it's a witness of what God's done in your life, that change that he has made in your life. Baptism is an outward symbol of an inward grace, what God has already done in your heart and life. And you are being baptized, and we are all called to be baptized. If you're a Christian, you've asked Christ to forgive you of your sins, you're repenting, you're living your life for him, and you have not been baptized, the next time we have a baptism here at the church, whenever that may be after COVID, go ahead and sign up for that, no matter how old you are, because that is something we're all supposed to do as a testimony and a symbol of what God's already done in our heart and life. Well, baptism testifies to three things that I want to talk to us about today, that you've connected with Jesus Christ. It's a symbol that we have connected with Christ, that we have aligned our relationship with Christ, our faith, our belief with Jesus Christ. That day when Jesus came and he was baptized, he was setting an example. It was something that they had already been doing. John had already been doing it. And Jesus comes along, the Son of God, and he says, I want to participate in this. I need to participate in this. This is what my Father has planned for this day and this moment in time. And when we become baptized, when we're baptized, we are, in essence, coming alongside of Jesus Christ, and we're showing our connection with Jesus. We find in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, it says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Paul's talking to the church at Rome, and he's saying there's some significant things, I can say that word today, there are some significant things that you need to understand about this baptism. When we as Christian believers are baptized, we are then associating with Christ's death and his resurrection and his coming again for the church. If you think about the symbolism of baptism, there's a lot of different ways you can be baptized. You can be sprinkled, you can be poured. And my favorite, my suggested version is immersion, where you are literally going under the water, but because of physical reasons, not everyone's able to do that. So sprinkling and pouring is an acceptable form of baptism as well. But going under the water symbolizes the fact that you have died to your life of sin. If you think about all that Christ did for us, he died on the cross. He went through all that suffering, died on the cross, and he was buried in a tomb. Now, we talked a little bit when we did the table last week. We talked about the concept of what happened when Jesus died and went to the tomb. He didn't just fall asleep. The scripture tells us in the New Testament that he went and he spoke to those that had already died ahead of him. He went to those that are in that holding place, the Sheol or Hades, the grave. And he spoke to them about who he was, because the Bible tells us that you cannot get into heaven except through Jesus Christ and belief in him, the Son of God. And so he preached and had an opportunity to teach them about who he was and give them that opportunity to accept that they had already done by the way they lived their lives under the law. And so during that time of his death, he was buried in a tomb. And the symbolism of us going down into the water, going under the water, is aligning our lives with Christ, that we are also, in essence, dying, not physically, but spiritually. We are dying to our sin in our life so that we can be raised new to a new life in Christ. I remember when I was baptized, I shared with you before, I've been a pastor for about 30 years, but I'm also a pastor's son, and I remember that when I was about 12 years of age, maybe a little bit younger, more like around 8 or 9 maybe, I remember being one of the first people that my father ever baptized. And I was nervous about it. He explained to me, we went through a class and the significance of baptism. He said, now when you are baptized, I want you to do this. When you come up, I want you to interlock your hands like this, grab a hold of your hand, put it on your waist. I will then reach over top and grab, and when I push, you lean back. And when I pull you back up, you lean forward, and together we'll go down and come back up, and it'll represent the death and the resurrection of Christ. Now, he had never done this before, and I knew that. So the whole service, I'm sitting here fidgeting like this. My father's going to drown me. My father's going to drown me. My fears were proved true when it was my time for baptism, because most people, when you baptize, as I have done every person I've done since, I say, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as you're doing the down and immediately back up. Not my Father. My Father says, I baptize you, boom, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you come back up and you're, you know, hopefully alive in this thing. And I survived it. And I said, when I baptize, I am not doing that. And because you seemed like you were eternity, you literally felt like you were going to die with Christ in that moment. That's not what we're trying to do. We're not trying to drown people, although I have seen some introductory videos about baptism where pastors had people floating around in pools and things like that, advertising, come out to be baptized. Not the concept we're looking for here. Not a physical death, but a dying to that life of sin. That when we go under the water, we are dead to our past way of living. That when we come back up, that is coming from the water symbolizes that we have this new life in Christ. That we're no longer dead and living for the ways of the world, but we have this new life in Christ. Just as he came back from the tomb and had a new and glorious body, we have something different about us. There's a new spiritual DNA that's imparted to us when we ask God to forgive us of our sins that's symbolized in that baptism, that when we come back up, we're saying to the world that there is new life in Christ. And we are a part of that. And I don't know you. I'm here as an interim speaker to this congregation, and I don't know how you do your baptisms, but I'll tell you, every place I baptized, when they came out of the water, it was a party. We would shout, we would clap, we would celebrate together, because that is symbolizing a new life in Christ. And we celebrate that, and it's an amazing change, and the things that we love about who God is, and sharing that with our family and friends. You see, we connect with Christ in his death. We connect with Christ in his resurrection. But baptism also symbolizes the belief in the resurrection of Jesus and his coming again to take us to be with him forever in heaven. The grave was symbolic of a physical death. And while Christ was physically dead for a period of a couple of days, he raised back to life. And the scripture tells us that one day he will return. He went to heaven after hanging out with his disciples for a little over a month. He went back to heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father of God praying on our behalf. We know that. And there's going to come a day where God says to Jesus, go get my church, go get my people. And the scripture tells us that the dead in Christ will be raised first. Those are the people that have died and have accepted Christ before their death, and they're died and they're waiting and he'll come. And the scripture tells us graves will be open and we'll join him in the air and we'll be going with him to heaven. We look forward to that day through baptism. Because Christ, who was dead and buried and raised again, will come back for his church. And there's a hope that's built into that baptism ritual. There's a hope, that symbolism, that one day we will be resurrected and go to heaven for eternity with God. Now, we won't be in heaven for eternity because the scripture tells us he's also going to recreate the earth for us the way it was supposed to be. And that's where we'll live for eternity with him. But we'll be in God's presence forever. We identify with Jesus through baptism. But the one thing I did like about the secular definition of baptism from the Merriam-Webster dictionary that we showed earlier is that it does bring out the fact that we have connected with his church, this community of believers. As you look at that, that we are connected through baptism to the church. Peter in Acts chapter 2 says it this way. Peter replied, repent and be baptized. Now this is Peter giving his great speech. Following the Pentecost situation where the Holy Spirit came on them, Peter stands up and he starts preaching. This is the Peter who was running for his life just a few days before when Christ was crucified. He was hiding. He was fearful. He was denying even knowing Jesus Christ. This is that Peter now who is empowered by the Holy Spirit and bold and standing forth and saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, in parentheses, just like we did. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. Can you imagine that? 3,000 people baptized on one day? That's a big party. That's a long time in the Jordan River. Well, when we realize that we connect with his church, we realize that God doesn't live in buildings. Rather, he lives in the hearts and lives of those who have repented and received their forgiveness of sins. And I want to remind us of that because I think too many people today, too many Christians, live with an Old Testament view of the church. We express it probably because we don't have a better way of expressing it, but we invite people to come to church with us. That's an Old Testament viewpoint. We invite people to come out to church. Now, we can't do that as much as we would like to because of COVID and the pandemic and social distancing and wearing of masks and all that, but we will get back to a point in our country where we can do that. And we will say, hey, come to church with me, to a place where we worship God. And we're really saying, I believe the Old Testament version of what the church is. It's that building where God resides. It's that temple, that place where people go and assemble before God to worship him and his glory and his majesty and his presence in the church building. And that was what the Old Testament was about, but something changed in the New Testament. It fulfilled that idea of God taking residence in the temple. When the disciples understood and began to teach, then the New Testament view, we are the temple. That God doesn't reside in buildings, and we come and worship him on Sundays. God resides in our life through his Holy Spirit each and every day. We're reminded all throughout Scripture, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now think about that for a moment. That literally changes everything about how we believe and how we live our lives if we really understand this concept. I remember Dr. Stephen Manley, when I was a teenager, he would speak to the teens around a campfire service, and he would point with his, and I wish my fingers were like twice as long because that's how it seemed as a teenager. He had these long, spindly fingers, and he would go like this, and Jesus. And his fingers just, it was almost as if he could have been in a horror movie. He had the hands for the horror movie, that evil person, you know. And he goes and he says, Jesus. And he says, and we don't take Jesus off the shelf and bring him to church with us on Sunday. Jesus lives in here all week long. Now you got to understand that. I heard that over 40 years ago. I can't remember much of anything else he's ever said over the years, and I've seen him many times. But we don't take Jesus off the shelf and bring him to church and put him back on the shelf when we go home. That's the Old Testament. You go to the temple, you go to church, you worship God, you go home. He lives in our hearts, New Testament, in our lives. We are the temple. And if we really understand it, it totally changes everything about our life. Think about it for a moment. If you understand God is living in the church, you go worship him on Sunday, we segregate him to that part of the week, that Sunday morning, and you're home watching this morning because that's been your tradition. And then it's so easy to go out and live our lives differently this week because we'll see God next Sunday. But when we identify with the church and understand that the New Testament concept is we are the temple, God is with us every day, every moment, we can't clean ourselves up for Sunday and live how we want the rest of the week and think that's okay. It has to change how we live 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And this idea of connecting with the church in this community, we together have been crucified with Christ and we live with Christ. We connect with the church of others who have believed and repented of their sins and asked forgiveness, and the Holy Spirit takes residence in our lives. And we recognize God doesn't live in buildings. He lives here. Baptism sets you apart. It identifies you as a part of the body of Christ, his church. So maybe I should ask the question this morning to you listening on the live stream, how's church? How are you? Where you're at right now? You're the church. You've identified with the body of Christ. How are you doing today? What are you doing today to be the church? What's your routine going to look like? What's your schedule going to look like after this streaming is over and you go back to the rest of your day? What is your week going to be like, church? How are you going to live today? You see, so many times we can excuse our behavior or our lack of doing what God's called us to do by saying, that's the pastor's job or that's the church's job to do that. And you're absolutely right. It is the pastor's job and it is the church's job, and you are the church, and I am the church. So, church, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do this week for God? Are you going to do your job? Are you going to do what the Bible describes as the responsibilities of the church because you are the church? You see, baptism aligns us with the church. It says, I am a part of this community of believers who have been died to Christ, died to sin, lived with Christ. I'm a part of this community. But not only do I identify with Jesus, identify with a community, his church, I've connected with his mission. You see, baptism connects us with the mission of Christ. Matthew 28, we're very familiar with, those of us who have been around the church very long. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said to his disciples and those listening, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, now listen, Jesus is saying, all authority has been given to me. Because of that authority, because I have the ability to say, I have the authority, I'm commanding you now. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. You know, think about that for a moment. We always think of this as the church's job, right? I know I used to think about it that way. The job of the church, the role of the church is to go out and tell people about Christ, baptize, teach them about the things of God, and God promises to be with the church as the church goes. So we wait for the church's next evangelism program to go out and make disciples in the world. We give our money to missions because the church as a body is supposed to go out and send missionaries to those around the world. And those are all good things, but they're Old Testament thinking things. The New Testament says this is not a corporate instruction. This is an individual instruction. You, me, each and every one of us are called because of God's authority, Jesus' authority. He's given to us to go and make disciples of nations, to go and baptize, to go and teach, and to teach others to obey what we've learned. You heard me ask a few weeks ago, who are you discipling and who is discipling you? That is the pattern of what we're talking about here. It's not the church's job to go do it, but it is. But we're the church, not a building, not a facility, not an organization. When you begin to look at this passage, as I think Christ originally intended, it was not for a group of people, but individuals together, forming a group, doing this together. It says that when I identify with Jesus through baptism, when I identify with his church, I'm also identifying with his mission, which is to tell others about Christ and to make a difference in this world. And it's not up to me to let the church do it corporately on Sunday. It is my job because I am the church. Wherever I'm at, right now. So whether we're gathered here, for those of us that are here this morning with the praise team and the sound crew and tech crew and myself, for those of us that are here, we're here together being the church. But for those of you on the live stream, you are the church. What are you doing this week to make disciples? What are you doing to teach them everything that you've learned about God? You see, connecting with Jesus' mission is more than doing it in name only. It has to be a part of who we are each and every day. Because baptism identifies you with the mission of Jesus to share his love with those who haven't begun a relationship with him. Wow. Baptism identifies you with the mission of Jesus to share his love with those who haven't begun a relationship with him. Maybe what I should do is be clear for a moment that the about what the mission of Jesus is not. In light of the events of this past week, I want to suggest to you that the mission of Jesus is not protesting. It's not the violence. It's not the rioting that was witnessed at the Capitol this week. That is not the mission of Jesus. I woke up the morning after those events had unfolded at the Capitol building, and I woke up with a wide range of emotions. I woke up embarrassed to be a part of this great nation called America, the United States. I was embarrassed that this type of behavior actually happened in our great country. I was hurt. I had feelings of hurt to see people claiming to be Christians acting in that kind of a way and encouraging others to act like they did this week. That is not who we are as Christians. Let me be clear about that. That's not who we are as Christians. I woke up the next day angry that Christianity in the name of Jesus had been dragged through the mud as in any way being associated with that type of activity. I saw one of the clips, a person carried a Trump 2020 sign and a banner, and above it was the symbol of the Christian fish. Inside of it, decorated like an American flag, and said, "We are Christians." I was angry, because that is not who we are. I was angry to see the name of Christ in our church and our belief system drugged through the streets that way and portrayed that way, and how Christianity has been so tied to the events of these last few months. There was an article, as I was thinking about this morning, I Googled about the Capitol to see if there was any other information. It said, this was the title of the article, "What place did Jesus have at the Capitol riot, the Capitol Hill riot?" And it was subtitled, "Pastors who preach Christian nationalism and Trump's promise for God are complicit in this violence." Wow. So I thought it was important for me to be perfectly clear this morning that the actions of those who participated in the events this past week are not the actions of true followers of Christ. That's not being judgmental. That's looking at the life of a person and comparing to what God's word tells us we're to do. That was not the mission of Jesus or the mission of the church. Jesus never calls his followers to act that way. Instead, what does he do? He calls us to be people of peace, people who express love, and people who grant forgiveness when we've been wronged. That's who we are. His mission is to be part of telling the world about the love of God and leading them into a relationship with him and baptizing and teaching them to obey everything he taught us in his word, the Bible. That is the mission of the church. That is the mission of Jesus. And that's the mission that you and I are called to be a part of. So I'm going to leave you this morning to think about this one question. Have you personally connected with Jesus, his church, and his mission in this world?
Now it is time for us to come to the table. I have